So what next? That's the question the disciples were asking themselves. So many things had happened in recent days. They had seen the Lord crucified, and then heard the news that he had risen again. He had appeared to them, in the, first to Mary Magdalene in the garden, then the disciples in the upper room. And then what did Jesus tell them to do? Wait. Wait until God moves the next time. Days passed. Nothing happened. They gathered in the upper room from day to day and they prayed together, but nothing happened. And they began to look at one another and to ask one another the question, so what next? Where do we go from here? What are we supposed to do after this? What next? It's a good question. It's a question that a lot of people ask themselves. Some people ask themselves that question because they don't have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Because they know that something needs to change and they're not quite sure what to do. And they ask themselves the question, so what next? Some people find themselves having to make a decision about something that's happening in their lives, and they're not sure whether to turn to the left side or to the right, and they ask themselves the question, what next? And some people have come to know Christ for the first time, and they're trying to figure out, so where do we go from here? What do we do after this? What next? Some people pray for that baby to come into their lives, become a part of their family. And God blesses them, and we got to see the fruit of that today. And then you go home, and especially with your first child, you look at one another and you say, what next? What do we do from this point? Where do we go forward? And after some days had passed, the Bible tells us that Peter finally came to that breaking point in his life, and he said to the others, I'm going fishing. Why did he say that? Of all the things in the world, after all that had happened, why in the world did he say, I'm going fishing? Well, I can guess about some reasons. Maybe the tension of it all had overwhelmed him, and he needed to get away from it for a while. Maybe Peter had started to wonder if everything he had experienced over these last 3 years was over. If Christ had come, Christ had called, Christ had died, Christ had risen again. And now Peter was going to have to go back to the way things used to be. Maybe he was going to have to return to his life as a fisherman. Maybe he was tired of waiting and decided the Lord's not going to do anything soon. I've got to find something to do. It could be any of those or a thousand other reasons. I believe that when Peter said, I'm going fishing, what he really was saying was, I've got to go to a place where I can really think and really pray and where I can do something that will allow me to try to figure out where God is going from here. And for Peter, that place was the sea. When he decided to go, the Bible says the others decided to go along with him. None of them anticipated that they were heading for an encounter with Christ or for how that meeting was going to change their lives. And so they went to the shore, and the apostles set out to sea. They spent the hours before dawn casting strong nets with experienced hands, remembering all over again that fishing is kind of like riding a bicycle. You never really forget what you're supposed to do. And so they cast the nets, and they drew them in. They cast the nets, and they drew them in. And nothing happened. As the sun was rising on the horizon, there was not a single fish to be found among them. They lowered their nets for another try, and as they watched the nets sink below the surface, they noticed one solitary figure on the seashore. And he crawled out to them. Children, have you caught any fish? I love that. I love that because what Jesus said to them was probably what these men least wanted to hear. Here these guys are, big, burly, experienced fishermen. And what does he call them? Children. Children, don't you know what you're doing? Children, aren't you seeing any results? Children, have you caught any fish? Now, those of you who are fishermen understand how much they hated to admit the truth. When he called out to them, children, have you caught any fish? Do you think they called back and said, no, we haven't caught a thing? What do you think they did? Children, have you caught any fish? No. Not a one. Can I suggest something? Great. Everybody's an expert when they're standing on the shore. Throw your nets on the right side of the boat. Then you'll catch something. Okay. And so they threw the nets on the right side of the boat. And almost instantly a school of fish filled the net so quickly the boat almost sank beneath the weight. And suddenly John realized this has happened before. It happened that day that Jesus called out to he and James, to Peter and Andrew, and said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It happened on the day when they left their fisherman life behind and became disciples of Jesus Christ. It was that day when they left it behind to follow Jesus. And with eyes as wide as saucers, John looked over at Peter and he said simply, it is the Lord. It's the Lord. And when he said that, Peter's eyes jerked up and his face looked toward the shore and he realized John's right. And immediately he dove overboard, not even willing to wait for the boat. And the Bible says it wasn't that far off ashore. But Peter wanted to get there. And that morning they shared breakfast on the shores with a risen Savior. They didn't expect anything unusual to happen. And instead, everything changed. Because everything changes when Jesus shows up. This morning, I want us to think about how he's still doing that same thing today. How he does it every time he calls out to a heart. He does it when he calls out to someone, it's time to trust me and be saved. He does it every time we find ourselves at a cross point and we have to make a decision. He says that every time we reach a dead end and we have to find somewhere else to go. Every time we find ourselves in that place where we need the Lord shows himself to us in a very special way. So I want you to see, because what happened to those disciples is the same thing that happens in people's lives today. It may be the same thing that needs to happen to your life right here, right now. I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never had a saving relationship with Christ. It may be that you have never truly trusted him. It may be that you've trusted being in church. It may be any number of reasons, but you've never really come to know him. You may be here this morning, and you're dealing with opportunities and decisions, and you've got to decide what to do, and you don't have much time to make that decision, and you need some guidance. It may be that you're here, and you're dealing with a dilemma, a problem, a heartache, an obstacle. And you just need God to tell you what to do next. If so, then I want you to understand that the story we're looking at together from John 21 is a story about what God does when we need him to show up. And the first thing I want you to see is this. The first thing that he does is he reveals himself to you. Understand something about this encounter they had on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples didn't do anything to bring Jesus to themselves that morning. The truth is, he came to call out to them. They never expected to see Jesus at all. They weren't going fishing for a spiritual experience. They were just going fishing. And he came to them right where they are. Because every saving experience begins with a call of Christ on your life. Jesus always takes the initiative. One of the things that we need to remember is that We need to see him when he comes to us. We need to be ready when he shows up. When Jesus said to them, you go and wait, what he was saying was, you go and wait, I've got a plan. That plan wouldn't completely be revealed until Pentecost, but he wanted them to know, I have a plan. Go and wait. I'm coming. And he came and he showed up with them just at the time when they needed him the most, because that's what he always does. Jesus always shows up at our greatest point of need. In every person's life, there comes that time when you know the Lord is dealing with you. It may be that time when he's calling you to himself. That time when you show up and all of a sudden, God comes to you. How many people have been saved and the first thing that happened to them was they walked into a church service never expecting for anything to happen out of the ordinary in their life. And somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit begins to move and God begins to convict and he meets them right at the point of their need. He comes to where they are. I'll never forget one Sunday years ago when I was pastoring in Aliceville. I had finished the sermon and I was standing in the front door and people were walking out. And this one lady came to me and she said, you'll never know how much I needed that message this morning. You will never know how that message spoke to me. She said, I came in today and I was so burdened and I was so in need of some kind of sign from the Lord. And that message you preached, when you said this and this and this, that was exactly what I needed to hear. And I said, well, thank you very much. I'm glad that God spoke to you. And she went on her way, and I stood at the doorway. And you know what I was thinking? But I didn't say any of those things. Not one. What happened? Jesus met her at her greatest point of need. He spoke to her in a way that she was hearing what he was saying. Now, she thought it was coming from me, but it was coming from here and from here. Because that's the way he works. He comes to us at our greatest point of need. Everybody's experience is different because every call is personal. But that time always comes when you hear his call. There's a passage of scripture I love with all of my heart. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Isn't that a powerful scripture? How many times have I shared that passage with someone who is lost and in need of a Savior? Maybe somebody here today. You need to hear that Jesus is saying, I am knocking on the door of your heart. You know it's me. You know I want in. But you got to open the door. And they open the door of their life, and Jesus saves them. What a powerful moment. But here's something else we need to remember. Revelation 3:20 is really not a passage that was written to lost people who need to be saved. It's written right in the middle of when the Lord is dealing with his churches in Revelation. This is a message to the church. This is a message to believers, and it is saying, I'm here. I've come. You have a problem. You have a need. You have a choice. You have a decision. You have a heartache. Here I am, and I'm ready to help you. Let me in. Let me in. At our greatest points of need, here he comes, because that's what Jesus does. The second thing that we see in this passage is this, and then you recognize who it is. When John recognized Jesus, he declared it clearly, it is the Lord. Receiving Jesus means recognizing that he and he alone is Lord. John never idly wondered, who is that man on the seashore? Who does that guy happen to be? He never thought, well, it might be Jesus, but it might be any number of people. He knew it is the Lord. It was an instinctive response. When John encountered Jesus, when Jesus came to him, immediately he said, I know who that is. That's the Lord. When Christ calls your name, you know you are in the presence of the Lord. When God meets you at the point of need, you know it is the Lord. When you are lost and you need salvation, and He comes to you and He knocks on your heart, you know it is the Lord. Nobody has to explain it to you. Nobody has to identify Him. You just know it's the Lord. How many times have you struggled with a problem in your life and you just can't work it out and you can't find the answer and you can't find the way and you struggle and you struggle and you struggle, and all of a sudden He gives you the answer and you know who it came from. You know you didn't think it up by yourself. You know it came from God. It is the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Not just Lord of the world. Not just Lord of the church. Jesus wants to be Lord of you and Lord of me. And He's calling us to that personal relationship with Him, that personal dependence upon Him, that personal reliance upon Him, that personal trust in Him that comes when you recognize it is the Lord. There's one more thing I see in this passage that we need to recognize this morning, and it is simply this. You have to make a drastic commitment. When Peter dove into the water, there was no turning back. And you got to love Peter. You always have to love Peter. Sometimes he does it right. Sometimes he does it wrong. But whatever he does with all his heart. And John looks at Peter and he says, "It's the Lord." And Peter doesn't say, "So what should we do?" What does it say he does? It says he jumped in the water and he swam to where Jesus was. There was nothing halfway about his desire to be with Jesus. He came to Christ with everything he was. That's what happens when you become a believer. You don't kind of, sort of, more or less believe. You believe. You dive in with all of your heart. And that's what it means to be a serious disciple of Christ. It is to say to the Lord, "You tell me what to do, I'll do it." No hesitation, no holding back, no arguing with you, no reasoning with you, no negotiating with you. I will do what you tell me to do. That's a hard lesson to learn sometimes, isn't it? It's a hard lesson to learn that when God says jump, you just jump. 3 years ago, about this time, I was settled into the place I thought I would spend the rest of my life. 11 years of ministry at First Baptist Church in Haleville. Everything was going well. God was blessing us. And Larry Bird called me for the very first time. How was I to know that God was calling me to First Baptist Birmingham? How many times over the years had I looked at Judith and said, "I will never live in a city again"? To make bad worse, I even said, "But if I ever did, I would live in Florence. It's just a big small town." What did the Lord say? "Come on. Come on." And sometimes you just have to jump. You just have to jump. That's what Peter learned, and that's what Peter did. You surrender your whole life to Christ. First in the privacy of your own life, but then, just like Peter, for all the world to see, you come and you give your life to Jesus. If you're lost, you take that jump and you trust Him. Sometimes people want to know, "So why do we do this in public? Why do we have an invitation and we ask folks to walk the aisle?" Maybe some folks stand in and they think, "What in the world is going on?" Because you need to dive in with both feet and let the world know I've given my life to Jesus. Because you dive in with both feet and you say, I want to be part of what God is doing at First Baptist. He is calling me to this place. And you jump in with both feet. And then you begin to ask God, now how are you going to use me? Because here I am with all my heart. As you face opportunities, choices, and challenges, you begin to say, Lord, if you will lead me, I will follow you. Three years ago about this time, God called me to be pastor of this church. And then I had this other opportunity over a meal at IHOP when I met Rich and Susan Hutchins to talk for the first time. And I got in the car and I told Judith, I really believe the Lord wants to call them to our church. Yay, Jesus. There are those times when you just do what God wants you to do. That beautiful old hymn describes what it means to turn your life over to Christ. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Are you here and you don't know Christ? Today's the day when you need to accept Him. Are you here today and He's calling you to be part of this church? And that's what it means to follow Jesus. Is there something He's dealing with you about in your own life and you need to follow Jesus? Say yes. Well, that's sermon one. Now it's time for sermon two. And there are people all over this room saying to me, do you know what time it is? It's not the same, but it's the same, and it's an important one. Because this message is especially for Austin and Stacy, for Chad and Lindsay, and for all the parents in this room. This is going to be the mini sermon, but it's the big sermon, okay? After breakfast, Jesus took Peter for a walk along the beach. I don't have time to talk about everything that happened between them. I'll save that message for another day. I only want to talk about the question. And here's the question. Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. And in this short conversation, the Bible tells you everything you need to know about Christian parenting. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. The Lord has called you to care for His lambs that He's trusted to your care. Not only do we celebrate with you that you dedicated your babies this morning, your children, but because we know that is the specific child that God has placed in your specific home and given to your care. For Bowen and Bradley, you are to meet their physical needs. You're to meet their needs for love and for protection and provision. You're to let them know every day how special they are. But here's your greatest responsibility. You lead them to Jesus. You feed them on the Word. You pray for them and you talk to them about Christ, and most of all, do everything you can to lead them to the Savior. It was a privilege this morning to give you those letters that someday you're going to get to hand over to them because they've come to know Jesus and they've trusted Him as Savior. But here's the most important thing, and it's your job to get them there. That is your single greatest responsibility. And let me say this, and do not surrender that privilege to anybody else. So many times you have parents who will say, you know, I want my kid to be a Christian. I want my kid to know Bible stories. I want my child to know how to pray. I want them to have all of those things. So I'm going to take them to church, and there'll be Sunday school teachers who will teach them, and Bible school teachers who will teach them, and preachers who are going to preach to them, and somebody's going to sit down and lead them to know Jesus. But you know, that's your privilege. It's your privilege to be the one who talks to them about what it means to follow Christ and to pray with them when they come to know Jesus. Over the years, I've had the privilege of talking about the gospel and praying with scores and scores of children. I've watched so many of them make that commitment to Christ. I've prayed with so many of them. I've baptized so many of them. And that's always a great privilege. But here's when I love it the most, y'all. Y'all. I love it the most when what I do is the period at the end of the sentence. You know what I mean? I just come in to confirm everything that they already know because they learned it from you. And that's your most important responsibility. Feed His lambs. And God bless you as you do so. Are you here this morning and you don't know Christ? Are you here today and you never have made that decision? Here He comes. It's the Lord. I'll go to Him. Maybe today you need to go to Jesus. For the first time, or in following where He's leading you, you just need to go where He's leading you. Maybe He's dealing with your heart today. For salvation, to become a part of this fellowship, to make a personal decision or commitment in your life, maybe He's speaking to you today. In just a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and I am going to invite you to walk these aisles, to make a decision public, to declare your faith in Christ. All you got to do is listen. If He's speaking, you know it is the Lord. Just do what He's asking you to do. I'll be here. Rich will be here. All you got to do is come. Will you do it? Let's stand together. Let's sing.